Let us pray together. Loving God, you have gathered us today to remind us of your love sent to us through your Son, Jesus. Today we have gathered to worship you, longing for your presence to be made real in our midst. So come, Holy Spirit, open our eyes to your grace around us. Teach us to be compassionate and to always work for justice. Take what may start small and multiply your kingdom in our lives and in the world. Go with us as we seek to be your agents of transformation, aided by you, to share our faith with others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. So friends, what's the strangest story you've ever heard? How did you feel when you were listening to or reading that story? Did you feel uncomfortable? Did you feel challenged? Did you feel like you didn't quite get the point of the story? I imagine that's a little bit like the feelings that Jesus' disciples were experiencing as they heard today's parables. After hearing about seeds and soil in the last couple of stories, the Gospel of Matthew pivots a bit to this series of strange stories meant to be thought-provoking and maybe even a little bit head-scratching. If after hearing these stories read, you are left scratching your head a little bit, worry not. I'm 100% convinced that we were meant to be uncomfortable with these stories, that these stories are meant to shake us out of the status quo and to depict the kingdom of God in ways that are unusual and shocking. Chances are, if you've heard these stories from Matthew's gospel at all, you're most familiar with today's opening parable about the mustard seed. Much has been made about mustard seeds, including those of us who have brought them in for a children's message, just to show exactly how small they are. Sermons have been preached, and I've done more than one of them, about how small the mustard seed is and how with faith, God can do amazing things. Things like raising up a large plant where birds can nest from the tiniest of seeds. But there's something else we need to know about the mustard plant, something that makes these stories so strange to the hearers. Did you know that the mustard seed is an invasive plant? Think something along the lines of kudzu in the south, or crabgrass or dandelions in our own backyards. No one wants these things in their garden or in their yard. And that was true of mustard plants in Jesus's day. It makes this story about the mustard seed a strange story indeed. Mustard plants grow very large. They block the sun from other plants. They leach the soil of precious nutrients and suck up all the water in the garden to the detriment of all the other plants. That tiny, seemingly insignificant seed could quickly become an all-encompassing challenge for your garden. It could transform into something else entirely. Put this parable about an invasive plant that no one wants in their garden alongside the parable about a man who finds treasure, buries it again, and sells everything he has just to buy that field and dig that treasure up again, and alongside a parable about yeast and flour, and alongside a parable about a perfect pearl, and alongside a story about nets cast in the sea filled with fish, we might find ourselves strangely in strange story territory. These parables are meant to leave us scratching our heads. They're meant to make us uncomfortable and wondering just why Jesus chose those examples. They're meant to pull us out of our comfort zones just enough so that we stop and ponder their true meanings and their relationship with the kingdom of God. In this series of parables, Jesus tells these strange stories to illustrate the pervasive and all-encompassing power of God's kingdom. He tells these stories to begin to help us understand the transformative power that God's kingdom has on our lives, in our churches, and in our world. God's kingdom is not just a small seed taking root in your garden. Instead, it's like a mustard seed that multiplies over and over and over again and takes over one's whole life. God's kingdom is like yeast. Once it's in your flower, there's no going back. God's kingdom will continue to work on you and in you, and it will not leave you the same. God's kingdom isn't just the most perfect pearl you've found in your whole life, or the surprise of buried treasure in a field that's worth giving up everything else for. The kingdom of God is a gift to us all, even if it doesn't always feel that way. The kingdom of God calls us to transformation, which is always uncomfortable. Did you hear that, friends? Transformation is always at least a little bit uncomfortable. When God enters our lives, when we are slowly being transformed and made more like God, it means that we are asked to lay aside our most prized possessions. Everything that we've worked for and toiled over is meaningless when you compare it to the gift that God's kingdom and God's love is for us. It's worth laying aside everything we think we know in order to encounter God's love and allow it to change our lives, our churches, and our world. Friends, the pervasive, all-encompassing, transforming love of God cannot leave us where we began. It does not leave us the same. It will always change our hearts and our lives, urging us to take the next step in faith, to reach out with God's love to new people, to shatter the bonds of injustice in our world. The kingdom of God will always ask us for another piece of ourselves, to give up another thing that makes us feel safe and comfortable, to reach out and extend care to someone new, to invite others in, to lay aside activities, thoughts, and beliefs in the past. Once we encounter God's kingdom, friends, there is no going back. With these strange stories, Jesus seeks to shake the crowd from their complacency with the status quo. By using invasive plants and stories that don't quite add up, Jesus invites us to consider that the kingdom of God is unlike any kingdom of this world. It defies our human logic and wholly transforms our lives, if we let it. But none of that means that things will be easy. Imagine how hard it would be to give up everything you've worked for and to hedge your bets on just one perfect pearl. What if you made a mistake? What if that pearl wasn't quite as perfect as it seemed? Imagine giving everything you own up just to purchase a field where you know there's buried treasure. But what if someone else found that treasure before you purchased the field? What if some bad fish get caught up in the nets and spoil what's good? What if a mustard seed invades your garden and you're not planning to start a mustard factory? Friends, there is always risk in giving our lives to God. There's always risk in becoming kingdom people. It makes us uncomfortable and it changes our lives forever. The point of these parables is that no matter how high the risk, no matter how potentially disastrous the results could play out in our minds, the kingdom of God is worth the risk. Yes, friends, that's what these stories tell us. The kingdom of God is worth risking everything for. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he writes to Christians who are taking those risks and paying dearly for them. Living a Christian life in ancient Rome was not an easy life. It meant risking everything you had in order to follow God. Living a Christian life meant possible persecution, loss of one's livelihood, and even the possibility of death. But the kingdom of God was and is worth the cost. And as Paul writes in Romans, God is with us in the midst of the messiness. God is with us in the midst of the broken world and of the things that we have to give up. God is with us when we look at the world around us and we don't have the right words to pray. I don't know about you, but that's how I feel when I watch the news these days. Some days I really just don't have the right words to pray. The COVID-19 pandemic has caused illness in nearly 16 million people. It's killed over 640,000 people around the world and left others with long-term and possibly lifelong complications. The effects of other societal ills, racism, sexism, homophobia, discrimination in all its forms, has done the same. Mistreatment of peaceful protesters, the unlawful detaining of our siblings in Christ, the news is full of these kinds of stories. The world is begging and crying out, as we heard last week, for the kingdom of God in its midst. And I, for one, as I'm praying through these stories, am thankful for the intercession of God's Spirit, who intercedes when I don't know what to pray. I am thankful for the gift of God's love that comes for me and comes for all of us. I am grateful that there is nothing that can separate me or any of us from God's transforming love, even when that transforming love casts an uncomfortable spotlight on all that needs to be changed in my life, in our lives, in our world. Beloved, no matter how difficult life gets, no matter how long we aren't worshiping together in our buildings, no matter how much change is required of us, there is nothing that can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus. There is nothing that can remove the speck of yeast from our lives that is God at work. There's nothing that can remove that tiniest mustard seed from our gardens, because the kingdom of God is planted here and working on us. Friends, God is at work among us and within us and through transformation in our lives. Though it might not be what we expect, I know that that transformation will be good, worth giving and risking everything for. Beloved, this week, remember that God's kingdom is at hand, already in us, in that tiny seed working its way into our hearts and our lives and working on us, so that we can build the world that God intends, filled with the love of Christ and the transformation of God. Friends, may it be so in your life, in our church, and in my life as well. Amen.